VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. As we look at our nation today, frankly speaking, our country is in a mess. And it really shouldn't surprise us. I mean, look at what John Adams, one of our nation's founders, said. He said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." No wonder there's so much lawlessness today. There's no regard for the rule of law. Our nation has far fallen from what was defined as moral and religious. But it goes beyond just being moral and religious. Former President Abraham Lincoln, in the proclamation that he gave March 30th of 1863, called for a national day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, and he wrote these words, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Ladies and gentlemen, if this were true in 1863 when those words were penned, I believe it is far more relevant for us today. We have forgotten God. Indeed, our country is in a mess morally, it's in a mess financially, it's in a mess spiritually. And more than ever, we're in desperate need of prayer and revival. Joining us today, we welcome Ben Everson. Ben is an evangelist. He's a musician who's known for his a cappella recordings. He has ministered in evangelistic crusades and Bible colleges at Christian schools, Bible and missionary conferences, camp meetings, and several other settings. He, along with Frank Garlock, have co-authored We Need Revival, Biblical and Practical Observations. Ben, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Jim, thanks so much for having me back. Good to be back.
And Ben, I'm sure you'd agree with me that when we look at our country as a whole, we're in pretty dire straits.
Oh, unquestionably. And I'm so glad that you led off with some of those quotations because you actually took some of the ones that I had in on deck here because I can't think of a better way to describe it. We are in great need of God to work in our country once again, and we ought to be asking him for it.
Yeah, and just as a foundation, Ben, I want to make sure we're not going into hopelessness here, because many see the condition of our nation and wonder, is there hope any longer for this nation? How do you respond to that?
Well, that's very valid. But I mean, there's this hope, there's as much hope for revival and for God to work in our country as long as the sun still rises. I mean, that's how powerful God is. God could do anything he wants at any time. Another man said it this way, that God sends revival, but it's up to us to set our sails to catch that wind.
Wow.
So, you know, there's two parts. Jim, I'll be honest with you. The last time I understood how the sovereignty of God interacts with the free will of man, I was a sophomore in Bible college, because we understand everything when we're sophomores. So I don't claim to understand that side of it, but I can tell you this, God's arm has not grown short that he cannot save.
Amen. Amen. And Ben, also here as foundational, I'd like to know, what is the role of the church in a time like this? We see what's happening across our nation, and by church, I'm not speaking of all church-going people. I'm speaking of those who are born-again believers, who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone as Savior, realizing he's the only way of salvation. What is the church's role?
Oh, well, I'm so glad you put it that way as well. I don't know if we'll touch on in this conversation, you know, what the benefits of having a prayer of people if you're not saved, et cetera, because that's a fascinating topic. But to go directly to your point, our job is to go before the Lord and follow the biblical pattern that we see presented, not just in the Old Testament, but also during the church age, where we get concerned about our spiritual state and how are we reflecting Christ to a lost world. If we're the moon to the sun, we don't have our own goodness, we don't have our own you know, holiness. We just are reflecting the character of God, the character of Christ. And to do that, we need to be clean vessels. So revival, first and foremost, is not going to be, you know, happy, joy, all that stuff comes after you get rid of the infections that are going on, after you deal with the topic of sin in our own hearts and lives. And that's what we need to do. We need to be asking God to do a deep heart work in his people, which is his church.
And coupled with that, I mean, we talk about the need for revival. I mean, I have many people who have called in this program, we need revival. But my question to you is, do we have a proper understanding of what revival really is? Is it something that comes for a couple of weeks and then fizzles out? I mean, we pray for revival, but do we know what we're praying for? What is revival? What is not revival?
Absolutely. And this is something that is part of the reason that it's part of the motivation for writing the book that I did. This is an update of a book that I wrote over 10 years ago, We Need Revival, which is, you know, pretty straightforward statement, I suppose you could say. But right off the bat, you know, most American Christians have an atrocious understanding of what revival truly is. And I'm not trying to criticize, I'm not trying to be a downer, but a lot of people think that revival has first and foremost something to do politically, or that it's something we can put on the calendar and we're going to have revival this next month. Well, you can't pin down God on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And if revival is something that has to be prayed down rather than worked up, then, you know, that's a whole different understanding than what the average person thinks.
So, and I just want to underscore something you said. Many, you know, look to political reform and equating that with revival, but that's not what revival is.
Absolutely. In fact, I had a good friend who went into politics. This is now 25 years ago. And I said, why are you going into politics? He said, I said, are you going to try to bring revival to politics? He said, no. My goal as I go into politics is to be a foot in the door. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, my goal is to put my foot in the door and hold the door open for religious liberty as long as possible.
Mm.
And that, to me, was the best down-to-earth, you know, description of what a Christian's involvement in politics could be all about. Excuse me. But as far as revival itself, the English word tells us what it is, revive. Vive means life. You can't revive what's not been vived in the first place. So revival has to do with God's people. Now, when God's people get revived, when God's people get right with him, then that spills out to the lost, and sometimes we call that an awakening. And I know some people say, you know, you're splitting hairs. I understand. I just want God to work, and I want to be a part of it. But I think words do mean things. And when we are specifically talking about revival, we're talking about God's people getting right with him that in turn will spill out to the lost.
Yes, indeed. And friends, we're talking today with Ben Everson, an evangelist and a musician, and talking on this urgent need for prayer and revival. Is there a connection? I'm guessing there is. I shouldn't say guess, that there is a connection. Tell us about that connection between prayer and revival.
Well, there have been revivals, you know, without music. There have even been revivals without preaching. Now, they're pretty rare. But there's never been a revival without prayer. And that, you know, I'm sure many of you and many of your listeners love to read some of these fantastic authors. And so that statement's not original with me. But I'm trying to think of which author I read. I think it's probably Leonard Ravenhill that I'm drawing that from. But prayer is when we get alone with God and we're spending that time alone with God, where we are asking him to do a work, and as we're alone with him and we're his word, his Holy Spirit, then, which indwells every believer, enlightens his Holy Spirit, enlightens the word of God, rather, like a searchlight. And it shines in places in our hearts and our lives that need attention. And without that, we can't do that work. I remember having an abscessed tooth. And that was one of the most terrible experiences, second only to a couple kidney stones. But this abscess tooth just bothered me. It got worse and worse, and the tooth had to come out. Now, I had a good fake one to replace it, etc. But my point is that we couldn't just paint over it. We couldn't just, keep giving me painkillers, because eventually that abscess could have gotten really serious. You have to get in there. You have to deal with the hard stuff. You have to deal with the sin. You have to deal with the carnality that can so easily seep into our lives if we're not careful. One more biblical illustration. I like thinking of this when Jesus is in the upper room and he's washing their feet. And, of course, Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet, Lord."
Right.
Then the Lord says, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." And he, of course, says, "Well, then give me a whole bath." Well, Jesus' response to him reminds me of how it is in this world. He said, basically, and of course I'm paraphrasing, but Peter, you're already clean, but your feet are dirty. Well, we've already been forgiven as God's people. We've accepted his payment on the cross of Calvary. He's covered our sin, but yet we still live in this world and our feet get dirty. And so that cleansing, that reviving is a necessary thing, I really believe, to live a vibrant Christian life. Doesn't mean we're getting resaved. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that God didn't do his job. Of course he did and does. But that attention to our feet is something that I think is vitally important.
And I think you're underscoring here an answer to another question many people ask. Is revival designed for our society or is it designed for the church?
Well, that's kind of like asking, who does sleep benefit, you or your wife? Well, when I sleep better, I treat my wife better. Mm-hmm. I mean, it shouldn't be that way, but
right.
It's kind of like saying, is it the first effect or the secondary effect? Well, revival is intended for God's people, and that's clear throughout Scripture. Israel and the church are two different things. We understand that. You teach and have so many good guests on prophecy and such. That hopefully your listeners, will identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there are some specific principles that are all throughout Scripture. And always, God is concerned with the spiritual state of his people. And we shouldn't be shocked at the wicked people living wickedly. I mean, that's what they're bound to do. What ought to grieve us is the compromise of the righteous. But when the righteous start living like we're supposed to, well, then that does spill over to the lost. So revival, first and foremost, comes to God's people. That's why I love using that term. You'll probably hear me say it more. It spills over into the lost. And then they start seeing the reality of who God is and who Jesus is.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're speaking today with Ben Everson on the urgent need for prayer and revival. The two are inseparably linked together, and we are just going to take a break here momentarily. And when we come back, we're going to develop more this topic of revival. What are the basics for revival? What needs to be revived? I mean, we see much of what's happening in our lives, our churches, our society today. What needs to be revived, and certainly we're going to offer hope as well, even to those who are ministering, pastoring, and just ready to throw in the towel, having hope for each individual as well. Stay with us today on Crosstalk. Ben Everson, our guest, will be back in 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the fossils take millions and millions of years to form?
Chris, we're all taught this, but in some ways this doesn't seem to make sense. We find millions and billions of well-preserved fossils, such as fish showing scales and tiny bones. Yet when a fish dies, it floats to the surface or it sinks to the bottom where it's eaten by scavengers or quickly decays. In order for it to be preserved, it's got to be buried rapidly away from destructive processes. It seems obvious that fossils must be buried quickly by water action, and what can do that? I propose the great flood of Noah's day. The fossils, by and large, are animals that died in the flood, laid down in sediments deposited by the flood. Yes, indeed, Chris. The flood is the key. It's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To find out more about creation science, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, the urgent need for prayer and revival. Ben Everson is our guest, and he is an evangelist. He's a musician and has been quite effective in ministering in crusades and in different venues all across this nation and around the world. And with us here today on the program, he has written the book, We Need a Revival. Some of the chapters are written by Frank Garlock as well. And Ben, you are making a very special offer to our Crosstalk listeners today on this book, recently updated, We Need Revival, Biblical and Practical Observations. Tell us about the special offer you have for our listeners today.
Yeah, so we just added this about an hour before the program, and that is if you go to my website, which is just my name, beneverson.com, on the front page there, the graphic, it's a little bit small, so you got to pay attention a little bit. But if you'll sign up, email, I will send you the book digitally for free. And so it'll come over the series of a couple days. You get a few chapters at a time, kind of like a devotional type approach. Mm-hmm. And I'll be glad to send that to you, beneverson.com. And you can click that and, you know, give me your first name. If you know, you don't even have to give me your name, I don't think, but your email, and I'll send that to you.
Friends,
glad to do that.
Friends, again, that's Ben Everson. That's E-V-E-R-S-O-N, beneverson.com. On the upper right of the website there, a box there that says Get My Book on Revival. You click on that, put in your email address, and they send you it free electronically. And you'll have to pay for it in other means, but here is a free download of this for the Crosstalk listeners, and would encourage you to take advantage of this. Ben, as we talk about revival here, are there basics that are necessary for a revival to take place?
Oh, absolutely. I was just thinking about this during the break. Where do we go in Scripture? There's a number of places we can go. I thought Psalm 73 might be a great place to go, where that's the first mention of the word revive in a spiritual context. It's been used before that, but as far as the spiritual context, wilt thou not revive us again? Well, the first three verses of that chapter, Lord, thou hast been favorable into thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. I won't read the whole chapter, but those first three verses tell us the first great principle of revival, and that is God is the source of revival. Lord, thou hast, you did these things. And, of course, some people might ask, well, of course God's the source of revival. Who else would be? Well, a lot of people treat revival as though it's something that we can manufacture. Mm-hmm. If we just get the right speaker, if we just get the right music, if we just get the right conditions, we can kind of cook up a revival. And that's not the case. That I'm not against good preaching, of course. I'm not against good music. I try to produce some of it myself. I'm not against drama and some of these other ways, but that doesn't twist God's arm. He's not a cosmic vending machine where we just punch in the right numbers and, you know, something pops out. That's not the way it works. So God's the source of revival, number one. And then when you move on to the middle part of that passage, wilt thou not revive us again? In about four verses, us is used over and over again. And that brings us to the second principle of revival. God's the source of revival, but we are the subjects of revival. And we've already been talking about that a little bit, in that God's people are the subjects of revival. It's not the lost. It's not our job to look outside the walls of the church, metaphorically speaking. We know the people are the church, but to look out there and say, oh, I'm just appalled at all the wickedness, as in we're shocked. I mean, I get shocked by it, but as far as a revival is concerned, it ought to be my own wickedness, mm-hmm. My own, kind of like sitting around that table with the Lord at the Last Supper. You know, Resurrection Sunday wasn't that long ago. Those disciples got a lot of things wrong, but one thing right they got was when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, they didn't all look at Judas and say, oh, I know who it is.
Right.
They said, oh, is it I? Is it going to be me? Am I going to do that? That's the attitude we need. Lord, work in my heart. Work in my thoughts and in my actions. And those are two primary principles. Now, are there more than that? Absolutely. I think of the letters to six out of the seven churches there. in Revelation. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's given to us as the closing letter of the whole Bible. And remember, sometimes we just need to sit down sometimes, Jim, I think, and remember, has there ever been a time when I was closer to the Lord than I am right now? Because if there is, it's not God that moved, it's me.
Yeah, yeah, and that would be a signal we need revival.
Absolutely.
So again, folks, those are very thought-provoking here for the basics, that God is the source of revival. We are the subjects of revival. Talking about that aspect of repentance, the aspect of remembering, and these are not fun things to do, Ben, because we like the ease of our life. I mean, we want to have our me time. We want to be sure, you know, we are having, you know, the pleasures of this life, but there is real commitment that's involved with revival.
Yes. In fact, I'm looking at the table of contents of the book here, and I wrote a few things down. I'm just looking at this section, the middle section. We need a revival of humility. We need a revival of holiness. We need a revival of hallowed ground, which is, of course, prayer. We need a revival of heaven-mindedness. And as my eyes drifted over that chapter title, you said that, and I said, yes, heaven-mindedness. If we as God's people are so earthly minded, how can we blame the lost for not thinking thoughts of heaven? If I'm consumed with my football team to the and I love football, so that's why I picked on it. But if I'm consumed with my sports team or my entertainment or my comfort, which is what you mentioned, then how will my life ever lead someone else to think thoughts of eternity? That's a convicting statement, and one that's a lot easier to talk about than it is to think about and to live.
Right.
But that's what we need, is to think that eternal perspective.
You mentioned that a revival of humility. What do you mean by that?
Oh, wow. Well, yes. We're coming up on a month that is going to be dedicated each year, unfortunately, to pride. And I voted last year on my own social media that we set aside, it should be a whole month, it should be a lifestyle, but to live humbly. You talk about lifestyle, right? So, but I decided that in my own life, that the month that we're going to go into here shortly, I'm going to call it Humility Month. Yeah, it does make a little bit of a political statement, but just in my own heart and mind, it's so easy to try to even battle for good things out of a sense of pride.
Yeah.
Pride is so sneaky. It's the original sin, both, you know, in the garden, because I'm going to assert my will, but also from the devil himself. That's what got him in trouble. So if in James we're told, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4 has been called the revival chapter of the New Testament. And there it is. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw nigh to God, right? We love that part, but the very next part of that verse says, cleanse your hands, you sinners.
Yep.
Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And then he goes into the humility part. So humility is me being willing to say, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord,
yes,
standing in the need of prayer.
Amen. Amen. You also mentioned that of holiness, and we see a lack of holiness. How do we restore holiness to the church? How do we restore holiness to our own lives? How do we restore holiness to our nation?
Well, I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of what holiness is, and holiness stems from the character of God. So a lot of people, when they think holiness, they instantly think, I need to have a bunch of strict standards in my life, and no one is going to outstrict me on my standards. So, you know, you might be more holy than me because you don't wear purple to church. Instead, you wear a white dress shirt, and whatever. I tried to think of something innocuous, but probably okay. Someone will be offended by that. I say that simply to say holiness is not it's not strictness. Holiness is reflection. So I want to be holy in that I am reflecting the character and nature of who God is. So how do we solve the holiness issue? We get to know God more, because it's a view of God problem. Our churches, we have accepted, in many cases, we've replaced the character of God with kind of the boyfriend Jesus approach. And because we've done that, we have shot ourselves in the foot because we're trying to make God and Jesus accessible and all that. Listen, the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God to always be relevant. When we deal with eternal things like who God is, we're always going to be relevant because that's the most relevant thing in the world, talking about the character of who He is. When we understand who God is, then we'll start living rightly. Now, are there do's and don'ts, et cetera? Well, I'm sure you've used the illustration before, too. When I married my wife, I said yes to her, and I said no to everybody else. So you want to look at that as do's and don'ts? Well, I guess you could, but that's not what it feels like. I said yes to her, which automatically means my behavior is going to match that. It ought to. Same thing with the Lord, sanctified. The idea of being sanctified means set apart. And so when we choose the Lord, as He, of course, offered salvation to us, no controversy there, right? It's something it's hard to understand. But as we become His, well, then we belong to Him. So we need to reflect that. I think every problem in the church and in our lives boils down to a view of God problem. We need to get to know Him better.
Wow. Ben, I know that there are many pastors who feel like throwing in the towel. I mean, they work hard, they minister, they counsel, they preach, and they're discouraged. What word do you have to share with pastors today on this matter?
Well, two things. First of all, even though I'm not a pastor, I'm an evangelist, I get to blow in, blow up, and blow out, as someone said in the past. Of course, if I really did that, then I'd need to get off the road, and that's not my heartbeat. But I get to leave, right? But I have, the first thing I'd say is I get discouraged, too, because I see a lack of understanding sometimes, and I can get overwhelmed by it. But a mentor of mine that I'm sure you're familiar with, Dr. Les Olah, said years ago that, this is 25 years ago, he said, eventually, first you start out doing the ministry out of a love for the ministry. You love the ministry. And as years grow on, you continue in ministry because you have a love for the God of the ministry. And I've never forgotten that. And that's what I would use to encourage a pastor, and I have used that. Listen, brother, we are in this not for ourselves and not because we're going to get gold stars in front of other people or we're going to build a great work that everyone else is going to recognize. Now, we might be on the front lines or we might be in the back where no one sees us, but we minister and keep doing what we're doing because we love God. And, you know, that might seem to be super simple, but sometimes the simplest things are the easiest things to grab onto.
Amen. Amen. Ben Everson, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And friends, we're just moments from the break, but I do want to take this time again to remind you of the free download of his book here to our Crosstalk listeners today. It's entitled We Need Revival. We Need Revival. And if you go to his website, BenEverson.com, BenEverson.com, and the upper right-hand corner of the page, you'll see Get My Book on Revival. And you click on that, and he will send you downloaded chapters and the book on revival. So go to BenEverson.com, and you can click on that and get the free download here today as you're listening to Crosstalk. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
From film producer Dave Cristiano comes the Christian film, Always a Winner. It follows the challenges and conflicts faced by a girls' golf team at a Christian high school. Always a Winner unfolds many key themes on pride, arrogance, relationships, forgiveness, and standing for life.
You can't get an abortion.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
I have to.
No, you don't.
Baby's not very far along.
The baby was a baby at conception. You can't kill your baby.
Hannah, this is not your problem.
The 85-minute DVD, Always a Winner, is available for a donation of $18. And through May 31st, you may receive additional copies going to the same address for a donation of just $10 more for each additional copy. For Always a Winner, call 1-800-729-9829.
friends. We've talked about revival. Many of you have called in. We need to be revived. We need revival across our land. We need revival in our churches today. And that's our topic today. We need revival. And you can get a free download of the book today, BenEverson.com. Click at that box in the upper right of the page. You'll find out how you can get it there. But the need for prayer and revival here today. Friends, I'd like to open our phone lines. You can start getting online here. We'll be taking your questions in just a moment, but we're talking about revival today. We want to limit our comments and our thoughts on this aspect of prayer and revival. Our number is 1-800-733-9829. Feel free to ask your questions of our guest today, Ben Everson, 1-800-733-9829. Ben, we were just talking about pastors who feel like throwing in the towel and who are laboring in the ministry, but we also know that there are many churchgoers, I mean, just laymen who look at what's happening around them and they wonder, is it any use for me to continue to let my light shine, so to speak? What good is there? How can I impact this world as salt and light? And when I see just everything going amok and we get discouraged, respond to that issue as well, if you would.
Absolutely. It's a two-part response, and the first part's going to seem a little negative, but hang on for the second part. First part is, okay, so imagine what happens if you decide to give up. Sometimes that's an approach that I use when I get discouraged. Okay, let's say we give in. All right, let's give in. Let's just give up. Let's live however we want. You know what's going to happen. What's going to happen is things are going to get worse in your own life. You're not going to be walking with the Lord. So the most miserable person on the face of the earth is a Christian who's not walking with the Lord. So that's going to be terrible. And then our faith is going to grow weak. Our families will see that. We'll destroy our family. Oh, boy, I don't even want to keep walking down that road. There is no other alternative. I love, and this is where it turns positive, I love just thinking to myself, you know, the future is going to look different than what we think. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go back to the 1950s, you know, as though that were the ultimate time. But, I mean, we're not going to rewind. But, you know, I know someone who has been to the future, who sees the future. And if I'm going to walk with somebody into the future, I want it to be him. So I want to be close to God. I want to see what he's going to do. He's going to work some amazing things above all we can ask or think. Why not be a part of that? And that gets me actually excited. So when the darkness gets darker, the light shines brighter.
Amen.
And we're going to see God do some amazing things. Let's be a part of it rather than, you know, just be down in the mouth and sour about it. Yeah, things are changing. But God hasn't. And he's going to do some amazing things. Let's be a part of it.
Friends, you're tuned to Crosstalk on VCY America, and we'll go right to the phone lines here today. As soon as you hear a line free up, that's your opportunity to give us a call. All the lines are packed right now. We're going to begin in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Kevin, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, kind of like what Moses said to Joshua between the book of Joshua and I believe it's Deuteronomy. You got to always remember. But last night he gave me something pretty neat. He had me write this down. It has to kind of go back from Washington to Jerusalem. He said, the call for help went from Washington, D.C., and it went to London. London sent it on to Rome. Rome sent it on to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem sent it on to heaven. Well, why was the call to help go to heaven? Because heaven is the only place that can truly understand and truly correct insanity. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not sure what context you're using.
Well, the thing is, in history, when you go back from Washington to mm-hmm. England, then from England to Rome, then from Rome mm-hmm. to the Second Coming, that's going to be the return to the revival, going back to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. To Jerusalem, the call for help went to heaven because it's the only place that can make sense out of this insanity.
Well, Kevin, I'm so grateful for Jeremiah 33:3 that says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And Ben, what a privilege we have to come into the throne room of God, to go directly to him. We don't have to worry about making a call to Washington or Jerusalem, but going directly to God.
Yes, amen. And we can come boldly. I love that.
Indeed. Thank you. Let's go to Daniel in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Awesome. First of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I just kind of wanted to speak a little bit on what you guys are talking about as far as revival goes, and then get a little feedback as far as, you know, what I was thinking about it.
Okay, well, in brief fashion, go ahead and make your comment, and we'll have our guest respond.
Sounds good, sir. I just want to talk about revival, man. I've been hearing that for a while. You know, I was actually raised very conservative Christian, and we talked a lot about it in church, and really what it seems to me like is everyone's like, we need revival in our schools, we need revival in our church, we need revival in our nation. Really, we need revival in the hearts of men. That's what it is. It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us finally submitting completely to God and not just partially. You know, I was raised in this environment where I saw so much hypocrisy and people compartmentalizing and how much they're willing to obey God and how much they're willing to submit to God and, having faith in some things but not in other things. And you know what it came down to, man, is what I saw is people weren't willing to submit fully to the will of God, and submit fully to God, man. They'll go to church and sure they'll start in ministry and they'll do other things, but as far as just 100% complete obedience, laying yourself down, laying your life down to God, and following His will fully for your life, you know, and that's what I think where revival starts, man, is people finally saying, okay, God, I'm done. I'm 100% yours. Here's my life. I'm laying it down. Whatever you want me to do, I'm here. And I really just feel like that's the revival. That's it right there. It starts in my heart. It starts with one person, and then it grows from there, man. And I really feel like people disconnect that from themselves. They're like, they're waiting for somebody to do something, you know, like, oh, who's going to start a revival? Who's going to start a Bible? I'll tell you what, it's you.
Yeah.
You can start that revival. You can start that revival by getting down on your knees, repenting from all your sins, getting real with yourself, and saying, you know, what parts of my life have I not given over to God completely?
Daniel, thank you. Thank you so much, Daniel. We've got your point well here. Ben, your response.
Two things. Number one, hypocrisy is everywhere, so it's not just in conservative churches. You know, hypocrisy is it's all over the place. But I sure do echo the idea. Revival, defined in one word, is obedience. Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. Thank you for the call here, Daniel. Elizabeth in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Is it me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Your guest mentioned the song "Revive Us Again." The last verse that says, "Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again." God's love can and will revive us. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Julie in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air. Julie.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, Ben, I liked your saying when you said that the revival is meant for us Christians, and I like that. You know, all this time I was thinking that revival was getting new people into church, but it's not really. It's really reviving our hearts to the Lord, you know, when He gave us life to revive us. And I think of an example when I met up with an old friend of mine. And I asked her how her husband was, and she said that they were divorced. And I was, you know, curious what happened. And, oh, he cheated on me. And I asked how he was doing. And then she said that he was married 5 different times since then. And I thought, did I really need to hear that? You know, do we really have to go slandering other people? Or, you know, what was the reason why people do that? Why, you know, we need revival in our own hearts.
Yeah.
We need to make things right with God. You know, we don't need to be judging other people, and I've seen that happen quite a bit.
Thank you, Julie.
In my life.
Thank you, Julie, for that comment here. And Ben, on that aspect, it's easy to point at others who need revival, and it's something Julie is pointing out, but that really comes back to our own selves.
Absolutely. We need to be right before the Lord and just ask Him to work in our hearts and take a good, close look in the mirror of His Word.
Indeed. Let's go to Scott in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was wanting to comment on the revival that the temporary revival that happened in Israel during Elijah's time, when Ahab had Israel divided between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God that was championed by Elijah, and just like the way it was dramatic display of God's power that brought about the revival, where He said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." During the revolution, the first great awakening that happened, the revival that happened in America, that was played a big part in winning the Revolutionary War. And just movements like that, like it's going to have to be something dramatic. I think like a display of God working through us, or something, some kind of display of God's power there's going to be a revival though, regardless.
Okay.
So that's all I got.
Thank you, Scott. Your comment there, Ben.
Well, anytime God does a work, it's miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
So when God does a work, it could be the quietness of a key person or anybody getting saved, and it may not make a lot of noise. So we don't want to put God in a box. A lot of people say, don't put God in a box, because they want him to do something amazing that the whole world will see. We know those things will happen because we know the end. But even the Lord working in one little family that maybe nobody else knows, that's miraculous in and of itself. So I just encourage us all not to discount those things as well.
Yeah. Ben Everson with us here today on Crosstalk, taking your calls at 800-733-9829 on the topic of prayer and revival. We have Vivian calling in from Ohio. You're okay. On the air.
Okay. Well, the way I feel about it, I think that when you get saved, God loves us that much. Go get cross course and save us, and we should love him enough to put him first in our life always before anybody else, for our family or anybody, because that way when you talk to him, you know you're really talking to him, and he's really hearing your prayers.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel bad, as long as we keep our faith in him and talk to him like me and you talk to each other, just put him in there and always believe in him and always put him first in your life.
Thank you, Vivian, for sharing that. And Ben, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. The thought of, you know, Hebrews 12:2, on looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How many times we take our eyes off from him, but we've got to keep those affixed on him.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the only way we won't be disappointed, by the way, right? Because
right.
We look at any other human leader, whether they're part of a revival or not even, we'll get our eyes off the Lord. And, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So he's the only one that we can trust will never be disappointed.
And let's go to Nick in Milwaukee. Nick, you're on the air.
God bless you, brothers. It's been a burden on my heart to call back into your show. I'm still a new caller for you, and I'm also a watchman and a fellow servant of the Lord. And so I'm going to share something very important. I want to ask you to please be patient to hear me out.
We got 1 minute before the break.
Yeah, there's been a great deception taking place in our church for a long time, and that's the ecumenical movement. What I'm saying to you can be proven on mainstream news media, and I'm willing to share evidence with you. We need to repent of our connection to the Roman Catholic Church. It is the great whore of mystery, Babylon. And we need to return to the King James Bible 1611. And we also need to repent of watching television. It's been the greatest tool of deception against the masses, with the setting up of images of idols to curse their children, even in most especially the United States of America. And like I said, I'm willing to share the proof with you. We need to repent, and we need to be the start of repentance if we're going to be effective for a revival, because we are at the cusp of all the entire world of being taken captive, as we have also discussed this past week, by the United Nations.
Thank you very much for your comments. We're up against a break. We'll have a response right afterwards. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our number today is 800-733-9829. Talking about revival today on the program, 800-733-9829. Back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Recently, I had on two members of the South Dakota State Legislature, a rancher and Margaret Byfield, who's an expert on the confiscation of America's farmland by the cultural Marxists, the globalists, those committed to the Great Reset of Klaus Schwab, which is a coalition of big government and big business. South Dakota is, well, on the firing line of protecting private property rights. But this is going on in many states, so pay attention. What's it about in South Dakota right now? Putting down pipe to capture carbon, a carbon pipeline. And they're trying to use eminent domain to take the property of about 200 farmers. There are many problems with this. Not only the issue foremost of private property, but then the danger of these pipelines. Not to mention, this is a gigantic scam on the taxpayer, and it needs to be exposed. Stay tuned.
Taking your questions, your comments for our guest today, Ben Everson, on the topic of revival. Our number 800-733-9829. And let me again remind you of Ben's very generous offer today for our Crosstalk listeners. His book, We Need Revival, Biblical and Practical Observations. And he gets into a lot of issues in this book about four key traps: reform or revival. We just want reform, or do we want revival? Wanting what God wants us to want. Is there a hope for America? Basics of revival. Revivals and awakenings in America. Four generations without revival. We need a revival of humility, a revival of clear consciousness, revival of holiness, of hallowed ground, of heaven-minded. On and on, the chapters are in this book. And he's giving you a free download of that book here today. Going to his website, beneverson.com, E-V-E-R-S-O-N, beneverson.com. At the upper right of the page, you'll see Get My Book on Revival. Click on that, fill in the information, he'll get it sent off to you. Ben, just before the break, we had the caller that phoned in, and any general response here to the caller?
Yes, it's important that we don't demonize technology itself, but rather pay attention to what's coming through it, because it's not the television itself that somehow is evil, it's what you're mm-hmm. watching. I mean, we've reached so many people. VCY there has reached so many people, both through television and now mobile app and all mm-hmm. kinds of things. I think that's important to keep in mind, although I understand, you know, caution should be used. And the other thing is, as far as Bible versions, which isn't the topic of this today, but I can tell you, because I got my opinions on all that, but I'll say this, the most dangerous version that you've got out there is called the NRV, and that's the Never Read version. Hmm. You might have stuff on your shelves, but if you don't get it out and read it, it doesn't have a chance to read you, and that's what we need.
Yeah, indeed. The scripture says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And we need to, we listen to God's word, and that word here implies obedience to it as well. As Ben said earlier, folks, trust and obey. Well, we've got a number of callers lined up. Let's go to Peggy next. Hi, Peggy, you're on the air.
Hi, I used to hear 10, 20 years ago, pray for revival. And there were even some songs that had that phrase in it. But mm-hmm. then a pastor, somebody told me that revival begins with repentance. And I think of 2 Chronicles 7:14, often, if my people who are called by my name will, and then it lists four things, and then it says the three things that God will do if we do those four things. And mm-hmm. they're not necessarily, maybe we can do this and we could try to do that. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that's what we really need, obviously, is to have our land, our hearts, our country, and our world healed yeah. by God.
Indeed. Ben. So.
Yes, and I don't have time to do a full answer, but in my book I talk about that verse specifically because there is a context in which it's given, mm-hmm. and we don't live in a theocracy like Israel did, but God will work if we will do what he asks us to do.
Indeed. Thank you for the call. Betty is next in Maumee, Ohio. Betty, you're on the air.
Hi. I haven't heard the word fasting yet, and I wondered, he mentioned prayer in revival, but I wonder if there's a difference when we fast, as the Bible says.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ben?
Yes, well, the Lord Jesus told his disciples when they couldn't cast out a certain demon. He said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. Fasting is letting go temporarily of things here on earth so that we can get a hold of heaven. And certainly, certainly, I think that should be a part of the Christian's life. How often, how much, all those type of things are beyond the scope of this particular broadcast, but that's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up.
That's good. Back out to West Virginia, and we have Chester calling in. Hi, Chester, you're on the air.
Just wanted to mention real quick, we often hear about revival for the church, but I think revival starts in each individual.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get our heart where it needs to be, then things in the church and things at work and things in the school and things all around will be a whole lot better when each individual yeah. works on herself.
Yeah.
And I recall David when he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit.
Right.
And that's what we need, is a right spirit within us, and most of all, a spirit of discernment, to where that we can tell what is right and what is not right,
right.
and we won't be led astray.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Chester. And we're going to get one last call in. This is Robert from Marana, Arizona. You're on the air.
Yes. I heard about the 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people call upon me, those four things that God asks of us is also found in Revelation chapter 6, the four things that the United Nations is using to destroy God's people. And I'm just surprised how God shows himself again and again.
Yeah, God, thank you. And indeed, God reveals himself all through his word. The question is, Ben, though, are we reading it? Are we studying it? Do we know what God has told us in his instruction manual?
Absolutely. I'm so encouraged that we are seeing in God's people across the country, and this is a great way to close, we are seeing an awakening of the hearts of God's people to being sensitive to him. You know, I tell people that we've been praying for a long time that the Lord would shake us up. Sometimes we even use that terminology, Lord, shake us up. Well, you know what he did over the last few years with all the COVID stuff going on? You know what he did? Well, he took the snow globe, you know, those little globes, right, of the world, and just shook it. And so we have great opportunity. People have been, it's been revealed to the lost that where they had their confidence isn't going to work. Well, then we need to, as God's people, show where our confidence is. And that's walking closely with Jesus Christ day in and day out and giving others that hope that just naturally comes out as a result of that vibrant relationship with him.
Is it improper, Ben, to pray, Lord, send revival to me?
Absolutely not. And that's a good point by one of the other callers. It does. It starts individually. And so that's why you can say revival is as close as it is, you know, to you. You can set your sails to catch the wind, so to speak. You can't control what other people do, but you can control what you do. And so when we have a lot of people that are responding, boy, that's exciting. And we start seeing God at work. But you know, it can be in the quietness of your home, just kneeling down by the radio after this broadcast even, and asking the Lord, Lord, would you work? I'm willing to see you work and wanting to see you work.
Ben Everson, our guest here today. Ben, thanks for joining us here today for this very motivating half hour to draw us closer to the Lord.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ben Everson, and folks, again, you can get a complimentary download of his book on his website, beneverson.com. And look for that little box at the top there, Get My Book on Revival. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.